Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion.
If you can see it here, and you have the courage enough to speak it, it will happen.
Just because it's never been done doesn't mean it can't be done.
It's your opinion, and they'll say no science shows. And I say, yeah, how many times has science shows something's impossible, now science shows it's possible? Yeah, things are impossible until somebody does it.
You will never learn from people if we always tap dance around the truth. We tap dance around the truth by finding the right words so I don't hurt you because you have thin skin. No. Tighten up, people. It's okay. Trust me. It's okay.
I mean, it's important not to give yourself boundaries, which we can do quite easily. Okay? People talk about aiming for the skies. Sometimes even aiming for the skies is intimidating. Just don't give yourself boundaries. Your sky and my sky might be different. You know what I mean? But neither of us will touch the sky if we give ourselves boundaries. You know what I mean? Whatever your sky is, whatever your biggest dream is, I might have already touched that, you know? So in other words, what sky? Where does the sky end? I'd rather people go, you know what? I'm not gonna restrict myself to going, I can only do this, or I can only do that, or I have to do it this way, or I have to do it that way. I think it's important that people just go, lose the boundaries, lose the conformity, and just go for it.
What are you going to do now? They don't own your life. How are you going to control that now? How are you going to flip it upside down and say, Roger that, now I'm going to harness this and you'll read about me years from now? How? That's the question. How are you going to do that? Thicken your skin. Become more of a human being. Don't be afraid of the reflection in the mirror, because that's all you can be afraid of. Once you overcome the reflection in the mirror, you've done it.
Failure is part of life. I mean, the difference for me, though, is I look at failure as a stepping stone to success. It's a speed bump. I know I'm going to fail, but it's not failure if you learn something. And so, gosh, I've made so many mistakes. I've screwed so many things up. But every time I do, it becomes a way for me to explain to someone else what it takes. You know, it's like, here's what I've done. I think I have the ability to influence people because I talk about my failures. I talk about all the things that mess me up. But I show people that I didn't let it stop me, and you don't let it stop you.
You cannot invent and pioneer if you cannot accept failure. To invent, you need to experiment. And if you know in advance that it's going to work, it is not an experiment. And so that's a very important thing. They are inseparable twins, failure and invention. So you have to be willing to do that. And it's embarrassing to fail. It's always embarrassing to fail, but you have to say, no, that's not how this works.
Visualizing is my biggest tool of life. That's why I've been able to put myself in cold water, put myself in a 100-mile race millions of times before I've done it. And I've been able to go through the race and see how I'm gonna feel at mile 50, almost to the exact feeling.
There is another level. The only reason you keep saying there isn't is you feel so exhausted about where you are. But life, the universe of God, is just testing you because there is another level. If this is good, giant jump to excellence, giant start good, toward to good, to excellence. There's a level where all your dreams are realized. There's a level that you've always dreamed about. It is real. It has not gone away. But it takes that extra burst when you think there's nothing left. There's no way. You've tried everything 10 million times, and you keep going. It's almost like God is saying, if you keep hitting this wall enough times, I will see that you will not stop, that you are filled with that level of determination and faith and courage, and then the door opens, and you get to that next level. But what most people don't know is the next level is just 2 millimeters above. And it's called outstanding, ladies and gentlemen, outstanding. It's a level where you are not one of the best, you are the best. And you know what's amazing? You only have to be 2 millimeters more than everybody else and you get everything. You get the joy, the laughter, the fun, the family, the passion, the economics, the freedom, the spirit. It's all there. What Jerry Maguire called the quad, baby. All of it. And it's just 2 millimeters above, and most excellent people give up because they're exhausted. And there's some people who go, the harder I hit it, the more I hit it, sooner or later it's going down, I'm not stopping. And when you do that enough, it pops open.
Living the world now, that's so kind. We find the kind way around everything. Like, if you don't look good, I have to find a kind way of saying, I don't like your shirt.
Right.
That's not the approach. If that's the approach you're looking for, that book is not for you. Can't Hurt Me is not for you. The approach you have to take, at least I took, you take whatever approach you want. The conversation had to be a real, honest conversation. In the accountability mirror, guess what? I was fat. Don't find a kind word to say that, you know what? I've gained some weight. No, you're fat. When I couldn't read, not like, hey, you know, even learn disability. No, I cannot read. I have a fourth grade reading level, I'm struggling. And sometimes I call myself stupid. Not in a way to put myself down. So don't take it like, my God, those are so hurtful. Yeah, they're hurtful. Dishonest. The conversation has to become an honest conversation of where you're at mentally. Where am I at mentally? I look like I feel like I'm falling behind in school. I'm lazy. My house is a mess. You have to look at what it is and call it what it is. Don't find words to make yourself feel better, because that's what, so we hang around people that make us feel better, that tell us what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. And so we stay away from those people. And we stay away from those people, like our internal dialogue becomes that kind, it's okay, it's not okay. So that's where it starts. It starts with that accountability of, it's not okay anymore. This can no longer be okay. And calling yourself out for exactly what you are and exactly how you need to fix it.
I think my imagination has always kept me going. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just imagine myself collecting awards. Just imagine myself, you know what I mean, getting big parts. Imagine myself working with the greatest actors. My imagination was the one, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're not overthinking, but you just kind of like, yeah, I mean, I see myself driving that car one day. And I get that. You know what I mean? That's part of my inner magic, is that actually, if I can see myself doing it, I could probably do it. So you can't bottle that up and sell it to someone. You either can do it or you can't.
Whenever I want to change something, whether it's a habit, whether it's a thought or emotion or a behavior, I say I'm going to work on this for 100 days. Not 30 days, not 21 days, not 66, which is right around there. I say 100 days. And then I focus all of my energy just on that one thing for 100 days.
Everything I didn't want to do is what got me to where I'm at today.
I have the ability to see the end before the beginning even begins. And what that means is I know that to get to the very end, I can see it right now. So before I went to Buds and I was losing all this weight, I saw myself walking across the stage at 191 pounds. That's what I had to get to get into the door. I saw myself 6 months, a year later, whatever it's gonna take me to do it. I saw myself walking across that stage, getting that certificate of graduation from Buds. And I was able to be there at 300 pounds. And that feeling, that I was nowhere near that feeling, I was able to put myself there a million times every day. And that feeling of like, my God, that is gonna feel amazing. That's what made me suffer. That's what allowed the pain to be real and say, this is worth it. I wanna feel for this next 18 months, it took me 18 months to finally become a Navy SEAL, to finally, you know, just get through Buds. 18 months, it's 6 months, it took me 18. That's what woke me up every morning, was I'm gonna put myself through this much pain and suffering for a few seconds. That's all it is. A few seconds of joy. And it's so worth it, man. That's what people don't get. So I'm able to put myself at the finish line, even though I have no finish line, but at the finish line of an event, before I even start them, and say, how are you gonna feel at the end of this?
When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. You have the most fundamental and major decision that you have to make in your life is this. Do I live in a friendly or a hostile universe? Which is it? Is it a universe that is filled with hostility and anger and people wanting to hate each other and people wanting to kill each other? Is that what you see? Because when you see the world that way, that's exactly what you will create for yourself in your life.
You know, you and I both know intelligence is a pretty damn valuable tool, but there are a lot of very smart people who can't fight their way out of a paper bag. And then when you find somebody who has that hunger, the hunger that doesn't go away, that hunger to be more, to do more, to give more, that hunger that never ends, you know, that's how you get these people that are the best in the world at whatever they do. And so if you can, I think everybody has that hunger, but for some people it's been asleep for a long time because they're afraid. They're afraid that I'm gonna get hungry, I'm gonna try, I'm gonna fail. And so it's human nature to protect yourself from the fear by just lowering your expectations. But one of the things I've learned is you get what you tolerate. You get what you tolerate in yourself, you get what you tolerate in your life, and sooner or later, we sometimes hit a point where we say, not another day, not another hour, this is done. I'm not walking this way, I'm not talking this way, I'm not living this way, I'm not gonna be in this relationship anymore, I'm gonna change it. And when people do that, that's the beginning of a breakthrough.
Where I got my work ethic from was the hours I had to spend learning this. When you sit down and you're not smart, you have a disability.
Yeah.
And you still want to be in the top of your class. I didn't want to just get by. When I realized that I can learn through hard work and I can beat the valedictorian in school, but I got put in 10 hours more a day than he does. You know what kind of strength comes from that? When you're sitting down, that guy that valedictorian studied for an hour, and you know, I caught you. I caught you, and I am dumb. But I have the work ethic to catch you. That's where David Goggins got really invented.
Yeah.
Was at a kitchen table with 20 spiral notebooks that were empty. And then 3 months later, they were full. And when you can go through that, I still have them in my storage unit. You go through these spiral notebooks of your life and you realize, this is how I learned. This is unbelievable. There's no miles. It's not about the miles, it's that. Having a discipline every day to say, for me to learn this one math problem, it's gonna take me 10 hours.
Wow.
And that's where it, and you realize through hard work, you can outwork anybody, no matter how badass they are. But that's the part people don't wanna dive into.
A lot of us don't believe that we can achieve the impossible, the absolute impossible. You don't need great parents. You don't need like a private school. What you need is a brutal work ethic.
He has done it.
You have to be willing to outwork everybody in the world.
Edmund Hillary, we can now add the name of Eliud Kipchoge.